रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 32, द लैमेंट ऑफ सीता. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. जानकी गेज्ड ऑन द हेड एंड द नोबल बो. शी कॉल्ड टू माइंड द अलायंस एस्टैब्लिश्ड बिटवीन रामा एंड सुग्रीवा ऑफ व्हिच हनुमान हैड टोल्ड हर. The eyes, the complexion of the face, the hair, the forehead, the crest jewel, all of them she saw were Rama's. She concluded that it was the head of Rama and that Rama was now dead. Like a crouched bird that had lost her mate, she gave way to her grief and cried aloud, "Oh, Mother Kaiki, are you happy now at last? Have your wishes been fulfilled? You have cut off the root of the Ikshvaku race, have you not? You who delight in sowing discord. When you banished to the woods Ramachandra, the brightest jewel of the Ikshvaku line, your intention was that he should not return to Ayodhya to claim the kingdom, but should perish in some misadventure. Well, Raghunatha is dead. Rama, who was a living root of the Ikshvaku tree, is now no more. Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, whose lives are planted in Rama, who give up their bodies. And all this sin you did for the sake of Bharata, your son, did he not? And if he dies, what becomes of your plans? What have you gained? Nothing but mischief. What harm did Rama do to you? Rama, who is crowned with every magnanimity. You have earned for yourself the heinous sin of driving Rama and me into the forest, clad in the bark of trees. Like an uprooted plantain tree, she fell upon the earth and fainted. When she came back to herself, tears blinded her eyes. She laid the head of Rama on her lap, kissed it and cried, "Alas, I am lost. Noble one, is it thus you have fulfilled your vow not to return to Ayodhya without destroying the foe? What sin have I committed that I should see you dead? I am branded with the name of a widow. Some say that the sin of the wife kills her husband, but you are ever virtuous in conduct, and I too have tried my best to be a true and loyal wife. How then is it right that you should die before me? First, I was driven to the forest from the kingdom. Then Ravana carried me away, while mounting misfortunes came thick upon me. This terrible fate has overtaken you who took pity on me and tried to save me. Now I sink into an unfavorable ocean of grief. I have no hope of coming out or reaching the shore ever again. Why, the sorrow is not mine alone. The lady Kaushalya is so innocent, so good. Why should she suffer this misfortune? She would cry like a cow parted from her calf. She has no other son but you. The best of Brahmanas, reading your stars, foretold a long life for you. The words are proven false. Or did they give this assurance seeing only your mighty strength and valor? If they knew and studied the books and spoken the truth, they should have predicted for you this early death, shouldn't they? And yet, they could never speak in untruth. Well, could it be that their fortune was changing for the worse and this confused their intellects? Or it may be that the Supreme Being, in whom all creatures have the origin, manifests himself as time, brings about the results of action. But he may have cast a veil of confusion over the intellects of the seers, who know the past, present and future as one eternal vow, and made them read your wrong. You are an expert in polity. You are a master of the art of war. You know the shape of every peril and the way of meeting it. Then how did you come to be killed unawares in sleep? Did the cruel woman, the knight of disillusion, clasp you tight in her arms and carry you away? Yes, charmed by the loveliness of your lotus eyes, she has carried you away. Ghastly sins I must have committed to be thus widowed in my youth. And you met an untimely death because you chanced to marry this most sinful wretch. It ill becomes you, the noblest of men, to behave like a mean-natured husband. Here am I, suffering unspeakable agony. My sorrow melts the hearts of all that behold me. Forsaking me in this condition, you fall in love with the woman earth and clasp her in your arms. I ask you, is it fair and just? Is it dharma? Alas, that I should live to see this mighty bull decked curiously with gold and gems, lovingly worshipped by both of us with rare perfumes and garlands, now lying masterless, like me, in the hands of the enemies. You lack nothing. My dear father-in-law, your father, the great King Dashrata, and all your noble ancestors, you see them all in heaven and enjoy their company. Yes, you are a star in the firmament, but this Ikshvaku line in which the most meritorious souls desire to be born, this line you have now left without a lord. O my beloved, will you not open your eyes once and look at me? I cry and sob like this, and yet you will not utter a word of solace to me. I am but a girl. I am not old. What do I know of the pleasure of this world? I became your wife when I was very young. And do I not deserve your protection at all times? Have I not shared your joys and sorrows? Have I left your side any more than your own shadow? Have I not followed your footsteps most faithfully on the path of virtue? And what greater calamity could befall me than this? When you clasped my hand in marriage, you said that you would never part from me till breath was in this body. And now how could you forget the promise that you so solemnly made? Wherever you go, take me with you. While I am here longing for you and sorely stricken by grief, how is it just that you leave me behind and go all by yourself to the worlds on high and revel in joy? I used to adorn your lovely body with auspicious articles, rare perfumes and bright jewels. I would allow no one else to do the service, and I feasted my eyes with the bliss of it. Now it has come to this, that dogs, vultures and eagles make a feast on that lovely body. To go back to Ayodhya after the term of exile, to perform with pomp and splendor many yagas like Agnishthoma, to offer worship to the gods, to have your funeral pyre kindled by fire, sanctified by use in all these Vedic rites, these would have been right and proper. But why die this unworthy death and pass out without a single religious rite performed over you? Did you die in the battlefield at the hands of your enemies and after having destroyed many of them? Why were you denied the end that awaits every Kshatriya hero? We came to the forest, the three of us, and now you have gone away from me, and in a moment I shall join you where you are. If Lakshmana alone returns to Ayodhya, what reply would he give to the lady Kaushalya that eats out her heart in sorrow after sending you to the pathless woods? He should tell her that your enemies fell upon you when you and your armies were fast asleep and slew you. The lady Kaushalya would die of a broken heart when she hears of your violent death and my being a prisoner in the hands of the Rakshasas. You went to unheard of trouble all on account of my wicked and sinful self. You crossed this fearful waste of waters for my sake. You slew as if in play Khara, Dushna, Trishuras, Virada, Kabanda, Vali, Maricha, Subahu and Tataka. And yet you who did all this were killed by the pitiful wretch Prahasta. How wonderful! Nay, it is as if one who crossed the mighty ocean were to drown to death in the puddle crossed by a cow's hoof. I am a sinful wretch who has come to defile the house I was born in and the house I was married into. And Raghava took me to wife without knowing this. Was it ordained by fate that I, the beloved wife of Rama, should prove his death? Did I, in some past birth, prevent the gift of a girl in marriage? Why should I, having the savior of the worlds for my husband, suffer the fate of a helpless destitute? Ravana, slay me too and cast my body on that of Rama. You will earn the high merit of joining husband and wife. Put my head by his head, my body by his body, and I will share the noble destiny of my great-souled master. Thus did Janaki wail out of a grief-stricken heart, looking again and again at the beautiful head and bow of Rama like an ordinary woman. Then there rushed into the presence of Ravana, a warden of the gate. victory, ever victory to thee. He said with hands clasped over his head, Prahasta the general is at the gate, and majesty, he and all the ministers are here. They pray for an audience. I must be excused for troubling you at this inopportune moment. You have given them leave to conduct the affairs of state at their discretion. Yet, his respect for you demands that he should place the facts before you and take your orders. Endowed with all auspicious excellences, it behooves you to grant them an interview. Something serious seems to have happened. Ravana came out of the Ashoka Grove, listened to an account of the valor and warlike arrangements of Ravana, and took his way to the council hall. Thereafter, taking the advice of his ministers, he decided on the arrangements to be made. No sooner did he leave the place than the false head and bow of Rama vanished from sight. Then the Lord of Lanka addressed the general standing about him who had his welfare at heart. Order that all our forces are brought here. Call them up with the beat of drums. Give no reasons. If the reasons were made public, it might reach Sita too, and she might discover that his claims to have killed Rama and his armies were false. The generals gathered their troops and came back to Ravana with the news, Your Majesty, all your forces are here as you ordered. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunavdiye Chakravarti Dhananjaya Sarvabhaumaya Mangalam.